wondrous cross.
Hey, good morning everybody. It's great to see you. Welcome. Isn't that lovely? Really encouraging seeing all these different groups from around the Christian unions, from unis and things. Excellent, fantastic. I hope you sang in with those from other languages. Yeah, good. Those Portuguese people who I think they're called Clutterbucks. Anyway, it's really great to have you all joining us this morning, and happy Father's Day, all you dads, granddads, and dad, you know, whoever. It's great to have you, a real warm welcome to you. And if you're watching for the first time with us, it's great to have you. joining us. Today's a bit different because we're doing an all-age service. So Rich is going to do bulk of this. I'm going to be popping in and out, as you can see. But it's great to have you joining us on this very special day as we think and recognise our dads and all that they've done. Anyway, if you are family, I would encourage you to get around the camera, around the TV, whatever it is you're watching, and join with us, because it would be really good if we can do things, because I think Rich has got some things up his sleeve, so you're going to have to be part of that. Just a few announcements, if I could. With the government lifting some of our restrictions, it means that we are going to be opening, as from tomorrow, for private prayer. And you'll see one of the adverts on the Facebook page where you're watching this at the moment gives all the details about it. So I'm not going to go through all that. Starts tomorrow evening. But if you want to be a part of that and come along, then do. Just come to the door of the church, and then all the instructions and everything will be given to you. And in fact, you'll see, if you walk past the building or drive past, we've got a new banner up. And it's something called Try Praying. And that's also to encourage people to think about praying at this time, because it's really, really important. So that's the first thing. On Wednesday, we have our worship on Wednesdays. That's back. So thanks to Adam and the Grace Sounds team, who are going to be doing that for us. That's at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And no doubt there will be a few other things going out throughout the week. If you do want to catch up on any of it, then you're welcome. You can pick that up on the same page as this, videos and all sorts of things. Okay, that's it from me. I'm going to hand over to Rich, and he's going to take us from the next bit. Cheers.
Hello everybody, and welcome again to All Age Service. We're just going to pray as we start. So if you're at home and you know that I can't see you, I still want you to do the actions anyway, but we'll see how it goes. So when I say P, we're going to put our arms out in front of us. When I say R, we're going to cross them. When I say A, we'll bow our head. When I say Y, we'll close our eyes. And that just stops us poking little brothers or annoying people, or going on our iPhones and watching other things grown up. So P, R, A and Y. Father, thank you that we can come together today in this special way in our own homes to worship you, to think about your son Jesus, how much you love us by your Spirit. So as we sing some songs to you, as we think a bit about Father's Day, as we think a little bit about what it means to share you with other people, I just pray that you're with us and help us to think about how we can be involved in your family. Yeah. Amen. 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 We are going to do a few songs this morning, and I hope you're in a lively mood. So, and I hope you've got an oxygen tank as well. We're gonna have some fun here as we sing, because worship can be fun. We can have a good time knowing God. It doesn't have to be scary. In fact, if God is Father and a good dad, then he loves it when we come to him, just like children come to their dads. So let's sing and praise together.
Great.
praise you in the heavens, joining with the angels, praise you forever and a day. Praise you on the earth now, joining with creation, calling all the nations to your praise. If they could see how much your worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise.
Sing, it is good to praise. Now, I hope that if you are a dad this morning, as well as being woken up by happy children or lovely phone calls or parcels at the door, you're also allowed a bit of a lie-in, which would be very nice. My children came and woke me up this morning, and actually, what was really lovely is, as well as hugs and cuddles, they also gave me a couple of things, which is really nice. Now, I've brought in a few things, not to make other dads envious. If your presents haven't arrived yet, it might be that the Royal Mail's still a bit inundated. Okay, so if you're watching this and nothing's arrived yet, it could be on its way. If you're watching this and you haven't sent anything yet, you want to get down to the post office tomorrow. Put a second class stamp on so it looks like it came slow. Okay, and we'll see how it comes. But I got some lovely cards this morning. Shining on the light there, there we go. Some lovely cards this morning saying lovely things about being a dad. And that made me feel really, really nice. But to top it off, I got the thing that every dad, I think, wants on Father's Day. I've got a couple of bars, a Toblerone, which is very, very nice. Mark hasn't had anything yet. I think he's got a card on the mantelpiece when he gets home. So I might share some Toblerone with Mark, and we'll share war stories about being dads, which is good. And mugs, you can never have too many mugs in your cupboard, can you? So mugs are always good. But isn't it lovely getting presents? Isn't it really nice when someone gets you something and it makes you think, oh, wow, they love me, or they appreciate me, or wow, that is really, really useful. I could use that. As well as Toblerone, my wife also picked up some special handmade chocolate from my soon-to-be brother-in-law. It isn't a plug, okay? But the guy, I've got some lovely super stuff as well. So I'm going to be eating chocolate for the next 2 days and not much else. But isn't it really lovely when you get something that's handmade? Could be a card, could be a picture, could be some homemade meals or something like that. Or you get something that is just what you want. And it makes you think, wow, that person really knows me. They appreciate me, they love me. And it's so lovely getting presents. But sometimes what's really nice is giving a present, is giving someone a gift and seeing that you've got it right, that you've got the nail on the head, that when they open up the gift, the person's excited or they're touched or they know how much you care. Now, God calls himself our Father. It's one of the ways in which God describes himself to his people. He calls himself Father God. Oh, there we are. Calls himself Father God. And one of the things, ways that we know that the Father loves us is because actually he gives us a present. And I'm going to put a verse up just here, which talks about God loving the world. Okay, I'm going to make it nice and big. Okay, and we're going to read it through together. So if you're at home, if you've got little ones, I'd like you to encourage them to read along with me, because we're going to see if we can learn these special, lovely words and where they're from in the Bible. So if you're all watching on different devices in the house, quick run down to wherever mum and dad are, okay, and we'll read this through together. If you're playing Lego on the carpet, Max and Alfred, now's the time to look at the TV screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Now there are some tricky words in there if you're a little reader. Okay, there are some tricky words in there if you're a big reader too. So we'll go through that again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this Bible verse tells us that God loves all of us, the whole world. That's people like me, that's people like you, that's people who live in other countries, that's people who are different to us, that's people who seem to be really good and important. It means he loves people who aren't always very nice, will get things wrong. God loves the whole world. And what did he give us? Well, he gave us something more special than a bar of Toblerone, or a special mug, or a lovely t-shirt. He gave us his one and only Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, won't be outside of God's love, won't die and be far from him forever, but instead will have eternal life, will go to be with God in heaven. And that comes from a book in the Bible called John chapter 3 verse 16. Now I'm feeling very sneaky, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some of the words away. Oh, look at that. Okay, and what I'm going to do is we're going to read through that again. And where the blanks are, I want you to see if you can remember the words. Okay, you ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Well, I think we're hopefully getting this at home. And if you're filming the kids learning this, if they can do it at the end with no words, then I'll have to owe them a sweetie or something for when lockdown's over, because normally I'm chucking sweets at people in all age services. So let's take a few more words away. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Hopefully you're still with us and you're still getting on with this. Here we go. Let's take another few words away. Ho ho. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Well, how are you getting on at home? Some of us have known this verse for a very long time. It's a very special verse to us. And some of you are maybe reading this for the first time, and you might even have learned it off by heart by now. Let's take some more away. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, very well done. Okay, they're nearly all gone now. I've left in the start of each line. I've put a few more words in and taken a few out. Okay, so hopefully there's a few there to jog your memory. So here we go. Let's see if we can get this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, how's everyone doing? Let me know in the comments how you're getting on. Okay, and you know, feel free to send some pictures in to me and Mark. Okay, if you're having a practice at this, or some videos if you're getting it all. But I wonder if anyone here, let's take them all out. Let's take them all out. Okay, so all the words are there. You've got all the dashes, but there's no words left. Okay, let's see if you can do this. And if you can send me or Emmanuel Baptist Church on Facebook a video saying these words without any help, then I will make a mental note, and when all of this is over, I will be running around with prizes. But more importantly, you'll know some words which are so important, because if you believe them, if you put your trust in Jesus, then you won't perish. You will have eternal life with God. You will be part of his family, and you can call God Father. So let's have a go. Let's see if we can do it. Sorry, I clapped on camera there. That probably blew everyone's ears off. Let's see if we can do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Well done if you're learning that. And if you haven't quite got it yet, then you can open up your Bible, or you can download it on your phone, or find it on the internet. And if you can remember John 3:16, then you can find those words, you can read them, and you can learn them. But more importantly than learning bits of the Bible, we can believe them. Okay, just to really help Doug, who in the comments I can see is struggling, we're going to sing a song which uses those words. Okay, now normally this song would be in a bit of a round. Okay, oh no, hang on, the words aren't popping up. I can see what's going on there, just bear with. I've put in the wrong format. Let me just, here we go. For God so loved the world, hopefully this one. No, it's the wrong one. I really for God. Okay, right, that didn't work. Right, the words aren't coming up, that's okay, because what I can do is we'll put all the words back up over here. Okay, they're slightly different. Okay, so if we can get these up. Okay, so I don't know what's happened there. The iPad isn't behaving on that particular song. It's not broadcasting the words. Okay, but it goes a little something like this. Okay, it says,
for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die.
shall not die but have it, shall not die but have eternal life. I haven't got the chords, I'm just on the way, here we go, so. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. Shall not die, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. Then it says, the word life, okay? L is for the love that he has for me. I am the reason he died on the tree, that's the cross. F is for forgiveness, and now I am free. E is to enjoy being in his company. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. Hell is for the love that he has for me. I am the reason he died on the tree. F is for forgiveness, and now I am free. He is to enjoy being in his company. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not die to have eternal life. Hell is for the love that he has for me. I am the reason he died on a tree. Death is for forgiveness, and now I am free. He is to enjoy being in his company. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. Excellent. So hopefully you now know these words, but what's more important than knowing them is believing them. God loves you so, so much. And whatever we do, whether it is the stuff we're proud of, or the stuff we're ashamed of, or it's the times we get it right, or the times we get it wrong, God loves you. And he sent Jesus so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be part of his family. I'm going to pass over to my friend Mark now. He's going to come and lead us in a little time of prayer.
Okay. Thanks, Rich. That's good. Yay. Okay, we're going to pray, and you remember the sequence? P, R, A, and Y. So, Father, thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all our fathers, for all our dads. And we want to honour them this day, as the Bible says we should. Because today is Father's Day, a day when we can remember each and every one of our dads. We thank you for all of them, for our granddads too, as well as for those who are no longer with us. We want to thank you for all who play that father figure that role within our lives. And we want to thank you for our real dads, of course, as well. Thank you for those who are sitting with us right at this point. But we also think about those who can't be there at this point too. And they're not there for all sorts of reasons. Be with them as well. But we also pray for all those, for whatever reason, are struggling. And we just want to pray that you would strengthen them and you'd encourage them at this point. But Lord, we want to thank you for all our dads and our grandpas who do and have done all that they've done and all that they do over the years for each and every one of us. Sometimes we take those things for granted. Forgive us, but help us today to remember them and to say thank you. Thank you for all the good things which they've done, for the modelling, for the role models which they've done, given to us, and all that they have been. Thank you for all the fun times which we can have with our dads and have had with our dads. And we just want to thank you as also even for the tough times, because we learn and we grow through those harder times. And Lord, we know that sometimes dads have to tell us off and discipline us. That's not always hard. That's always hard and not easy when that happens. But we just want to pray that you would help us to be grateful, because Lord, it's because they love us that they're trying to help us to grow up better. So we just thank you even for those more difficult times. And we pray that you'd also help us to forgive, particularly those dads who are perhaps no longer with us, when they've made mistakes and they made our lives hard in the past. And it makes it difficult for us to understand even you as a loving father today. We just want to pray that, Lord, we forgive them and that we'd learn from their mistakes. But we pray you'd help all dads, that they would, as they seek and support the mums and the rest of their families and all that life brings. We pray especially for those who are struggling to do that at the moment, whether that be through things like health or a lack of jobs, especially as a result of this virus which has been going around. But we pray that you'd help all dads to look to you and to learn from the Bible, where you give us a good example as how a father should be. Help us to learn your ways and to make you the centre of our lives as dads. We thank you that whatever our earthly fathers, or wherever they are today, that we can turn and look to you as our heavenly Father, who loves us and cares for us and has a better way and showing us a better way of life than any earthly father could. So help us always to look to you as our heavenly Father, as well as be grateful for our earthly fathers. So God, meet with us all, we pray, in this Father's Day. We pray that, Lord, no matter where we are or how we're feeling, that you would come and be with us and we'd have just that deep knowledge of your great love for us, which sent us your Son, as we've just been remembering. So we thank you for this day. Thank you for our dads and our granddads. And we thank you that you are our heavenly Dad. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Over to you, Ed.
Now, over the last few weeks, I've been able to tell you stories of things which have happened, or I've been able to show you how everyday objects in the world relate to Jesus. And today, as it's Father's Day, I'm going to be sharing a story about someone who actually lived quite a while ago in my family. Nearly 100 years ago, my great-grandfather, so my grandma's daddy, okay? I'm going to tell you a story about him just while I set this up. Here we go. So let's get this to how we want it. Okay, so today I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened in my family quite a long time ago. It's about something that happened with my great-grandfather, and it was just over 100 years ago when he was headmaster of a school in a place called Mombasa, which is on the east coast of a country called Kenya in Africa. So here we are this morning. Hopefully you can see, if I get this up here, here's a picture of the world. This is where all of us live. Some of you are watching from different places, but most of us are in this place here. So we're going to zoom in on Swanage. In fact, it's going to come right to where I'm sat, I think. We're zooming in. This isn't the Godlingston Manor drone. This is Google Earth. This is their satellite. There's Emmanuel Baptist Church. And if I zoom out a little bit, there's Swanage. So you can see where you live and where you are in the world. So we live in Swanage, in Dorset, in England, in the United Kingdom. And this story happened 100 years ago in another part of the world. So if we zoom out, okay, we're going to zoom back out and we're going to go to a continent, a big landmass called Africa. Okay, there it is. It's huge. And we're going to zoom in to the east coast, okay, to a part of the world called Kenya. And then we're going to zoom in to a place called Mombasa, which is on the east coast of Kenya on the seaside. So Swanage has a seaside and Mombasa has a seaside. But this happened a long time ago, in the early 1900s. Now, my great-great-grandfather was headmaster of a school for boys. You see, back in those days, it was only boys who went to school. Okay, times were a bit different. Girls weren't always treated the same as they should be. Okay, and this isn't a comment on colonialism, it's just how it was. But back then, my great-grandfather's school was a school for boys. And the idea was that many of the boys who came to the school, once they'd learned to read or to write and to do sums, they'd done their maths, their English, their literacy, they'd go back to their home, back to their towns, back to their villages, back to where they'd come from, back to their people, and they'd start their own school and teach others what they had learned. And I think that's pretty cool, isn't it? We've got you're going to be a head teacher soon, Ant, haven't you? Could you imagine if all of your students went off and started teaching their own schools one day? Okay, so the children would come to the school, the boys would learn, and then the idea was most of them would go back to where it was they were from and they'd start their own school and teach their own people. Okay, school wasn't like it is for us. It wasn't free. You had to pay. And the Christian Missionary Society helped run the school, but also families and communities would give money so that one of their boys could go and learn how to be a teacher. Okay, and this is what Mombasa looked like a long time ago. Now one day my great-grandfather at the school assembly, he told the school that he'd heard of a group of people called the Wadigo. And they didn't know about the Lord Jesus. They didn't have a school. They didn't have a teacher. And what was worse was they didn't have any money to pay for one of their own people to come and learn how to teach. No teacher, no school, no money to send someone to learn. Could they as a school pray about these people, these poor people who weren't able to learn like lots of the other folk in the area? Well, later that evening, there was a knock at the door of my great-grandfather's house. And it was a pupil, one of the schoolboys called Nzogo. Now, my great-grandfather was very surprised to see him and said, "Oh, well, I guess you'd better come in," and asked him why he'd come to visit him. And Nzogo said that he'd listened to what had been said in assembly that morning about the people who didn't know about Jesus, who had no teacher, no school, and he decided that he would go and be their teacher. "Oh, but Nzogo," said the headmaster, "you weren't listening carefully, because I said there was no money to pay for anyone to go. It's just not possible." "But I was listening carefully," said Nzogo. "I have decided to sell my cows." "What? Sell your cows?" said my great-grandfather. Now, I know we're not live this morning and you're not in front of me, but I've got Mark in the room, and I have to say that when I said sell your cows, he looked thoroughly nonplussed. And I'm fairly certain that in your homes today as well, most of you thought, okay, well, what's the deal with that? Okay, so I'm going to try and explain to you, okay? It might not sound very special, but for Nzogu, for his people at that time, it was a massive, massive thing to do. And my great-grandfather knew how huge it was for a man to sell his cows. You see, back then in that part of the world, and actually in other parts of the world today, when people get married, the husband gives a very special gift called a dowry to the family of his new wife. Okay, if you want to marry someone, you have to give that family a special gift because you're taking one of their daughters away. Okay, they're not going to have the daughter to help out in the home anymore or to help out around the farm or around the area. And so you have to bless that family with a gift called a dowry. And in Kenya, in the part of the world where Mombasa is, the gift, the dowry, was cows. It might seem strange to us, and you might as a lady think, oh gosh, well I'm worth a lot more than cows. But in those days, in those times, for these people, that was what they did. Today, in where we live, we give the lady a very beautiful, expensive ring. Back there in this part of the world, you'd give the family your cows. Now, if Nzogo was ever going to get married, if he was ever going to have his own family, if he was ever going to settle down, then he was going to need those cows to give as a special gift. By selling those cows, he was giving up his future. Okay, does that make sense? So he's going to give away his cows and his future so that he can have the money to go and be a teacher in this town. Okay, so with that explained, my great-grandfather knew how important these cows were to Nzogu, and Nzogu was giving up his opportunity to ever get married or have a family. So when Nzogu said he was going to sell his cows, it was a really, really big thing. So let's go back to the story and let's try it again together. Are you ready? So Nzogu said, but sir, I was listening and I have decided to sell my cows. What? Sell your cows? You can't do that. And Nzogu looked at my great-grandfather and said, are you telling me that if the Lord Jesus died for me, I can't sell my cows for him? Well, what could my great-grandfather say to that? Because he was right. If Jesus had given up his life for us, what could stop Nzogu giving up his cows, the idea of marriage or a family, for him? So Nzogu continued to learn at the school, and when the time came for him to leave, he went. He sold his cows, he took the money, and he went to the Wadigo people. But they were suspicious of him. They watched him. They stayed away from him. They didn't let him join in. They didn't go to the school. They didn't send their children. Imagine that. He'd gone there to help them and they avoided him. He'd given up everything to be with them and they were suspicious. They treated him like that. It must have been very hard. One day some of the leaders came across and spoke to him. And they spoke sternly and crossly and they asked, why are you here? We didn't ask you to come here. Who's paying you? It must be the government. Oh, and there's something we've all got in common, isn't it? The government. Oh, and they shook their fist. No, said Nzogu, it isn't the government. They didn't pay for me to be here. And the leaders of the village They went away and they had a think about that, and then they came back to Nzuga and they said, well, if it isn't the government, then it must be the white man who's paying for you to be here. Okay, it must be those foreigners. They've given you money so you can come here and change us. And Nzuga said, no. Nope, the white man isn't paying for me to be here either. Well, they didn't know what to make of that. So after a bit of a chat and a bit more heated discussion amongst themselves, they came back to Nzuga and they said, well, if it isn't the government, and if it isn't the white man paying for you to be here, then who is paying for you to be here? Who is paying for you to be here? Now, you all know, and I know, that the reason Nzuga could be there was because, and you know what's coming, don't you? I sold my cows. What? Said the leaders. You sold your cows? You can't do that. You see, those leaders, they all understood what a big thing Nzuga had done in selling his cows so that he could come to be with them. So things changed. The leaders understood that Nzuga wasn't being paid by someone else, but he'd come of his own and he'd given up a lot to be there. So Nzuga was allowed to teach their children. He was allowed to build a school. And he was allowed to tell the people about the Lord Jesus as well, and he started a church. And isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a really lovely thing? That this man who heard about another people who didn't have was willing to go. He was willing to give up. And actually he went through persecution and hardship to be there. And this is a true story that really happened. But sadly, this isn't how the story ends. You see, sometime later, the news came to the missionary, come quickly, and Nzuga is unwell. So the missionary went as quickly as he could to the area, and as he got near the village, it was all very quiet and sad. Because you see, Nzuga had died. His life there had come to an end. But there was still a school. And the children there had been taught. And there was a church there because people had come to know the Lord Jesus for themselves and to follow him. And those cows that Nzuga sold? Well, I guess he and the Lord knew that he didn't need them in the end after all. You see, sometimes doing the right thing isn't easy. Sometimes when we decide we want to help other people, it costs us. Sometimes when you want to share Jesus with other people, they're suspicious of us. Sometimes you can give up everything and you can go with the best intentions. And like Nzuga found it at the start, it just didn't go his way. He went, but the people didn't want him. And it was hard. Doing the right thing isn't always easy. But when we do what the Lord asks us to do, doing the right thing is always doing the right thing. Where Nzuga went, the people were able to learn. They were able to start a school. But more importantly, people found Jesus for themselves. Now that's a true story that really happened. And it's a story which is told in lots of different ways around this world, in all kinds of ways, where people decide to follow Jesus, to give up maybe what they thought they were going to do with their life and choose to go or to be or to say what God wants them to be or to go or to say. But because of people like that and because of people all around the world who share the good news of Jesus, the church grows and people are able to become part of God's great big family. So, we're going to sing a song as we finish. Okay? Actually, before we sing a song, you might be watching this morning and thinking, wow, I want to be part of this family. I didn't know that God loved me like that. I didn't know that God wanted me to be part of his family. You might be thinking, oh gosh, well, I've done things which I'm really sad about, or things which are unkind. I don't know if I can be part of God's family. You might be thinking, well, I'm a Christian and I want to, like in Zugo, I want to go and tell other people about it. Okay, and what we're going to do, just before we move on with the song, is we're going to say a prayer for those two people. Okay, if you want to be part of God's family, no matter how old, no matter how young, no matter what you've done, you can. And we're going to say a prayer for you now. Father God, thank you that you love this whole world, and that means you love us. Thank you that you love all kinds of different people. You don't care about what colour you are, we are. You don't care about whether we're educated or not. You don't care how old or young or what a mess we've made of our lives. You want us to be rescued and part of your family. Jesus, we're sorry for the times we've done things which are wrong. We want to be forgiven. God, we want to know you and call you Father. So clean us up. Make us new. Count us into your family. Help us to belong. And Holy Spirit, help us to change, to turn from what we know is wrong and follow you. Amen. And Lord, for some of us, we might be thinking we want to go where people don't know about Jesus. We want to share your son with our school, with our friends, or with people the other side of the world. Help us to be brave like Nzugu. Help us to know when to speak, what to do, where to go, and how to do it. Amen. Let's sing as we close our all-age service today. Let's sing some words which speak about how God loves us again. It's a song which speaks about the wonderful Son, Jesus. Oh, my guitar's gone horribly out of tune. We'll just have to go with it. I can't tune it now. Here we go.
My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower, of you.
Well, it's been really lovely to join with you this morning. It's been nice to look at a big part of the Bible together, to look at John chapter 3, verse 16. It's been wonderful to be able to sing songs which speak about how much God loves us and how we can be part of his family because Jesus came so we could be forgiven. It's been lovely to share with you a true story from my family from a long time ago in a faraway place called Mombasa. But hopefully, and more importantly, you'll come to know Jesus for yourself, where you are, that he'll live in your heart and help you to follow him, and that like in Zogu, you'll be brave enough to share him with other people, even if it costs. We're going to close our service today, not with the grace, but with the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus taught us to say. And again, it speaks about God as our Father. So hopefully you know these words. So let's say them together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Goodbye. We'll see you during the week at worship on Wednesday or next Sunday. Thank you for joining with us.